Hey everyone, welcome to the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Dara Cass, Editor-in-Chief of Feminem.
And I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, the other Editor-in-Chief of Feminem. Today we're going to be bringing you another one of our fabulous talks from Fix 17, but first...
What's first, Jenny? Do you have any announcements?
Well, Dara, I am so glad you asked because I certainly do. I want to make sure that nobody out there forgets to save the date for Fix 18. This is going to be our second annual conference. It's going to be superb. It'll be in New York City at the New York Academy of Medicine, October 16th through the 18th, 2018. Put it on your calendar now. You're not going to want to miss this. Check out the website for all the details at feminem.org/fix18. Now, Dara, who's speaking at Fix 18?
Why, Jenny, I'm so glad that you asked, because we actually don't know. We are currently holding open our call for speakers. Reviewing Fix speaker submissions is actually one of my most favorite things to do. I am always shocked at the quality and breadth of people that submit to speak at this conference. We've already had a record number of submissions this year, but we really want to hear from anyone out there. Well, I mean, Jenny, not you, right? We know you're not supposed to be submitting, right?
Yeah, of course not. Everyone hears from me plenty.
So if anyone out there thinks that they have something to say to the Feminem audience and they want to come to the conference in New York next year, please go to www.feminem.org. Click on Fix 18 and submit away. The deadline for submissions is January 5th. Also, be sure to check out our Feminem merch shop to get lots and lots of Feminem goodies. I still hold that my favorite is the We Are the Doctors, Our Parents Wanted Us to Marry mug, available at our website. Anyone out there that wants one, we have a few left, and then we're going to shut this down for a while.
So get it now. Get it while the getting's good.
Get what we left for Christmas.
All right. So now on to our talk. This is from an outstanding pair of doctors from Australia. Dr. Charlotte Alexander is an emergency medicine registrar. And for you American listeners, that's the equivalent of like a resident physician. She is speaking together with Dr. Jessica Ng, a surgical registrar. They both work at the Gold Coast University Hospital in Australia. Now, what was so amazing about this talk was that these two young physicians are mentored and sponsored by the amazing Vic Brazel, who is one of the most amazing speakers, one of the most incredible, captivating speakers you'll ever get the pleasure of seeing. She mentored and sponsored these gals, and you can see it at work in their talk. It's just amazing.
I will say, other than it being amazing, Jenny, because you use that word like 15 times to describe
it. It is amazing.
My most favorite part of the talk was actually their ability to tell incredibly amazingly timed jokes.
They are really funny. These girls are funny. Now, make sure to remember that this is just the audio version of this talk, but if you want to get a little bit more, you can check out their blog post and the video version of their talk too, because some of their jokes might be a little bit funnier if you see their slides also. So here's their piece, Looking Up, Women, Courage, and Mentorship.
G'day, my name's Jess, and I'm a surgical resident.
Hi everyone, my name's Charlotte. I'm an intern just trying to get on to the training program for emergency medicine.
Now, we're from a beautiful part of the world. The Gold Coast of Australia.
Now, don't be too jealous. But yes, we live and work in paradise.
Okay. I know what you're all thinking. What on earth are these two millennials doing speaking at a conference?
Okay, so firstly, if 2016 taught the world anything, it is that outrageously unqualified people can do anything. Secondly, Jess and I are speaking together. Together, we have 49 years of life experience. Think about it. Now, Jess and I want to speak to this wonderful room of thinkers, doers, and dreamers about mentorship. We'll be talking to the mentor and mentee in all of you. The greatest mentor should have their own mentor, and the lowliest mentee can have their own mentees.
In our talk about mentorship, we'll be working through our 5 golden rules. 1, expect greatness. 2, be a sponsor. 3, be genuine. 4, prioritize and say no. And 5, deserve a mentor.
Okay, let's start. Tip number 1, expect greatness. So I want to take you back to your medical school days. You've just started on your clinical rotation. You're fresh on the ward. Everything is going well until suddenly you're asked to do a petrifying task. And medical school goes from looking like this to looking like this. Everyday sight, I get Australia. You've been asked to put in an IV cannula. Now, this wasn't that long ago for me, so let me give you all a visual. You spend about 5 minutes sitting up, yet somehow you still forget to get out the tape. You feel your patient's vein 5, 6, 7 times. You get your cannula. Feel another couple of times for luck. The idea this is going to be a clean procedure is out the window. You hold your cannula just at the level of the skin. Then the shakes start. Always useful.
But at the end of the day, we all did it. Okay, some of our patients ended up looking like a voodoo doll in a puddle of blood, but that's not the point. What's important is that we did something we were afraid of. While fear can hold us back on so many occasions, we braved this because we knew we had no other option. New experiences will always be terrifying, but without doing new things, we can't move forwards. Imagine if you had a mentor, someone who believed in you, someone who expected greatness, but nothing less.
Being brave is a trait that women are not really expected to have, and it's not something that we're taught. Granted, I do believe this is getting better, but stereotypically, boys are dressed up as Batman, girls as princesses. We're told stories of helpless, frightened women who need to be rescued because they are A, in a tower, B, they ate an apple, or C, they're asleep. Men are told to change the world around them, whereas women are told to change for the world. Your face needs makeup, your ankles need heels, cross your legs, don't be bossy, your skirt is distracting.
Men tend to go out on a limb, take a chance, do something they're afraid of. And whether we like it or not, our career development depends on this. We'll always be faced with risks and big buts. You could become an emergency physician, but shift work isn't conducive to having kids. You could become a surgeon, but long hours aren't good for a woman. And you could speak at New York, but you've never done it before, and you're going to make a fool of yourself.
So what can we all do to help us be brave? To help us do something that might fail? To do something that could be great? Well, there's one major reason why Jess and I are here today. A mentor of ours believed in us and told us that we should apply, even though we thought there wasn't a chance you'd actually let us speak. So the wonderful emergency medicine doctor and Femin EM contributor Shahina Buganza once said this about a mentor of hers. It's someone who believes relentlessly. When you have someone in your corner who believes in you, who just expects greatness from you, it's much easier to take that leap of faith yourself. They can show you that difficult things don't have to be impossible.
So our first tip is expect greatness and they will be great. They'll be able to overcome all unnecessary walls.
So we want to take the next moment or next minute or so to do a little audience activity. So I want you all to think of the last time that someone just expected that you would be great. Then I want you to turn to your neighbour, tell them what it was, and tell them how it made you feel. Okay, try to finish up. Continue these conversations at lunch. It's coming soon.
Now, speaking of a world without unnecessary walls, I'm sure you'll remember President Obama. Now, there is an article about the women on President Obama's staff, they noticed that the fellow female staffers were being spoken over, the ideas drowned out. So in meetings, they decided they would acknowledge each other's ideas and force others to understand that women had just as much to contribute. Now let's talk about our second point, be a sponsor.
So a good mentor should be your sponsor. They should advocate for you. So the 2011 Harvard Business Review special report described a sponsor as someone who not only advises their mentee, but someone who promotes, protects, prepares, and pushes them. So a couple of years ago, as a third-year medical student, I made a little video on access deviation. I'd noticed that a few of my peers were really struggling with the concept, and I wanted to win a ticket to the SMAC conference. So it was a win-win. After I made the video, I showed it to an EM doc and now mentor of mine to see if she had any advice. She showed it to a few other consultants, or attendings, as you call them, who each had one or two things to add. After I finished the video, I published it on YouTube, and I maximized my media and tweeted it to my 9 followers. Now, as thrilling as access deviation was, viewing was pretty slow. Until that mentor of mine retweeted it, where it was picked up by others who also retweeted it. Now it's had over 4,000 views and opened one or two doors to me. I've come to realize that this mentor of mine has been my sponsor on many occasions. She's not only helped me make the most of opportunities, but has helped create opportunities as well, opportunities that have been extremely valuable to me. So this is our second tip, be a sponsor.
Okay, let's talk tip number 3, be genuine. Sit back, picture this. You've just finished your 16-hour shift, you're exhausted, your mind is jelly, all you want to do is sleep, you're on autopilot as you drive home, but you jerk awake as you wonder, did I remember to give that tetanus injection? You go home, nap for 5 hours because each moment spent away from your books is a moment wasted. That $5,000 exam, it's in a month and you're far from ready. You ask yourself, what will happen if I fail? Can I afford to sit this exam again? What will my peers think of me? What will my boss think of me? Am I biting off more than I can chew?
Any of this sound familiar? Burnout is a very real issue that faces junior and senior doctors alike, regardless of specialty.
I was close to burnout, but fortunately I had a mentor, a friend and a coach who showed me that these hurdles I'd built up inside my head weren't as tall as they had seemed. She showed me how to balance the stress of this grueling job with learning the pathophysiology of the renal tract. She gave me advice on which rung of this wobbly ladder of medicine to take to advance my career.
While it's important to have a close network of friends and family, it's also important to have a mentor who understands the work you're doing. You can cry with your family, you can complain and rant to your friends, but you can get real advice from your mentor. Someone who's been there before, made tough decisions, and overcome their own shortcomings. This means being able to have real, authentic conversations with your mentor. Conversations where you can share your failures, your vulnerabilities, your imperfections.
So, the most important thing is that we need to share both our strengths and our failures. Mentors are not superhumans. They're humans just like us, and everyone makes mistakes. Failures are inevitable. Neither the mentee nor the mentor should try to hide these failures, and doing so can seriously jeopardize the relationship. This needs to be built on what's real, not on what just looks good. Authentic conversations are the key to meaningful relationships.
So our fourth tip is prioritize and say no. So the right mentor will speak for you when your voice is still soft, will support you when you're having trouble support yourself, and push you. Push yourself. It's a unique, valuable relationship that has great potential, but it does come with some pitfalls.
The first stems from the fact that the mentee-mentor relationship is not fake. It needs to be built on what's real. So be genuine and don't try to hide anything.
Realising that no one is perfect is also going to try to stop you trying to be a carbon copy or a younger evil twin. The key is to take aspects that you admire in others and work them into your own practice. Rather than having one mentor whom you look up to for everything, try having like a personal board of directors, different people that you can turn to at different times. Our mentors can help us be the best version of ourselves by improving certain aspects. But it's important to have your own goals and priorities. Work out what you want and be disciplined to stick to it. If a mentor suggests a project that does not directly align with your career and its goals, it's okay to say no. In fact, it's important that you do. Being a yes person only leads to half-finished jobs and a likely resentful ending.
It's also important to remember that the mentor doesn't have time for excessive hand-holding. Come prepared. Ask specific questions. Prioritise what's important to you and be ready to say no.
So our fifth and final tip is deserve a mentor. This final tip relates to how you can all go about finding a mentor. So finding a mentor is like being cool in high school. If you ask, am I cool? The answer is no. And if you ask a stranger, will you be my mentor? You've just killed it. Relationships, even professional ones, stem out of real and earned connection. Rather than asking a stranger, will you be my mentor? Ask them a thoughtful question and follow up with a result.
The fact that we're all here today at this amazing conference means that we all share similar values and ideas. This is a great place for us to find friends, mentors, and mentees. Look across the people you work with every day and seek out passionate individuals from professional tribes and different departments. So, third-party pairings rarely work. Throughout medical school and residency, multiple had been set up. I was previously paired up with an anaesthetist, or as you'd call them, anaesthesiologists. This didn't work out well. It was like a bad episode of The Bachelor. We're from different sides of the blood-brain barrier. We worked at different paces, had different approaches to problems, and frankly, it was a waste of everyone's time, proving that the mentor-mentee relationship cannot be forced. And like many of you, throughout university, I've had role models that I've looked up to. But in my internship, I was eager, I took a chance, and I put my hand up. I volunteered for a simulation education program. And it was here that I was able to work alongside these amazing doctors and observe them in action. Most importantly, I finally got to meet my mentor, someone I can trust and rely on in guiding me through this competitive hospital world.
Mentors are drawn to those that they think will grow. So rather than relying on having a mentor to excel, start showing that you want to. Be proactive, put your foot in their door. Show why your name is worth remembering, why you deserve a mentor. So this, our final tip, is be proactive and show why you deserve a mentor.
Now, over my last 5 years, I've been teaching, and along the way, I've been mentoring juniors, both older and younger than myself. It's been satisfying to see these mentees grow and their successes as practicing clinicians. However, this relationship is symbiotic. While I have vouched for my mentees, they in turn have spoken highly of me when I've not been present.
Our hope from speaking to this gathering is that not only will you make the most of your mentors, but that you will be terrific mentors yourselves. Be passionate, be humble, and share your experience. You have the ability to leave a legacy in those you teach, mentor, and sponsor. Your impact can have a huge and long-lasting effect on their careers and in what they bring to their patients, their colleagues, and the wider community. And you may just discover something that you weren't prepared for.
Okay, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our mentors from Gold Coast, Dr. Shahina Braganza, who is an emergency physician and a contributor at Feminem, and also Professor Victoria Brazel, who doesn't really need an introduction.
These have been the best mentors in the world, and I cannot thank them enough for everything that they have done for us. I also want to give a quick shout out to Dr. Natalie May from St. Emmeline's and Sydney HEMS, and Brooke Myers, who's a pharmacist who works in the medical education office at the Gold Coast Hospital, both of whom have helped us quite a lot with this talk. And thank you, New York.
Thank you.